Study. Wednesday evenings at 6:30 is prayer, and from 7 to 8 is another Bible study, also in Mickey's room. Thursday nights, choir practice from 6:30 to 8. You know, we're not trying to exclude anybody, so anybody that wants to come, please don't feel uncomfortable. Come on up and join us anytime. Any Thursday night, we'd love to have you. April 28th, this is not in your bulletin, but April 28th is this Thursday. Ladies, we're doing the lunch. It's a free lunch for you ladies. Just come. Bring your favorite coffee cup or teacup if you want. We'll have tea, sandwiches, desserts. We're going to have a little time of prayer. And just going to be a nice time to bless you. Let's see. May 22nd is our potluck and gospel concert afternoon outreach. Again, if you want to participate, let us know. And then the farmer's market begins May 28th. Prepare to share. Saturday, April 30th at 9 a.m. is going to be the cleanup outside and inside, right?
Yep.
And then June 11th is the Strawberry Missions Festival. Any other announcements? Yes?
On the back, we'll
little table there are our summer daily breads. So take one. They're great because they're just little tiny books you can take with you. And if you have a Bible app on your phone, then you can do it. But they're back there. So.
Okay. Also, we have got a card, a Get Well card going around for Jacob,
yeah.
The little boy who's got the cancer, brain cancer. So everybody's going to sign this card, and we're going to send it off, letting him know, the family know that they're not alone. And Garrett, lock your ears.
What?
Lock your ears.
We have ears. I don't want to
lock my ears. Pretend you don't hear. We have a surprise card going around for Garrett.
The good thing with Gary is in 20 minutes it will be a surprise. I won't remember.
Because we have a birthday this week, and it happens to be Pastor Gary's.
But she gets to be a woman too.
Yeah. Tomorrow?
Yeah, tomorrow is tomorrow.
What time?
6:30.
Are you aware that the Cubs go to downstairs at 6:30?
Oh,
so
no, that's okay. Yeah, we're yes. Okay. Good to know.
There'll be a lot of love languages there.
That's right. Love the Cubs.
I've been to the Cubs, Scott. There's a whole lot of love languages going on there. On August 30th, Franklin Graham will be in Boston doing Hope for America. If you're interested in being a part of that, let me know. On September 1st, he'll be in Hartford. I'm not sure I'm going to do both, but I probably will do the Boston event. And that's a prayer group that gathers together and prays for America. He's going to all 50 states. He is on continual tour of visiting state capitals. So that's August 30th for Boston and September 1st for Hartford.
Anything else?
I have one more, Karen.
Yep.
The National Day of Prayer comes out the first Thursday of May. And so we usually have something going on here where we pray in the morning and in the evening as well, but the whole day is set aside for the National Day of Prayer.
Anyone else? Yes.
Just we had a horrific accident in Boston. I don't know if you've heard it. A toddler was hit by an ambulance and killed in front of Tufts Medical Center right while her mother was watching. So it was pray for that family. And to drive everybody involved together. A tragic. It was yesterday. Terrible.
Anyone else?
Actually, Karen, I've got some good news for all of you. In case you haven't heard, I'm actually back home now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm still happy to be back home.
Glad to have you back.
No place like home.
Okay. Then we'll move along to prayer requests.
I'm sorry.
Prayers for Bob and Judy, Charlie and Alma, and all who are battling Parkinson's. Prayer for our cancer warriors, Jacob, Roger Kerboy, Reverend Bob Wellner, my friend Dee and her husband, and Dee's brother. Continued prayers for little Jacob, baby Luke, Angelica Ward and Alexis, and all of our children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren that need healing, and for the doctors and nurses that treat them. Prayers for Paul, yay, who's home, and Priscilla Varney, and prayers for me, I have more tests to go through too. Anyone else? Yes.
Yeah, also, I think prayers are called for Michael Valenzuela's grandfather who fell and broke his hip yesterday and is in the hospital right now.
Anyone else? Yes.
Kristen, she fell and broke her arm yesterday.
Oh.
Kristen. And for her friend's baby, Ethan, who's 8 months old and has really bad eczema.
What was the baby's name?
Ethan.
Yes.
My mother, Mary Sheridan, put in the hospital yesterday with pancreatitis and gallstones.
Our son Marty and his wife Melissa, their baby's due today. So just prayers that she comes this week and that she has an easy delivery.
Yep.
I don't know if you remember Mark Boyd, who used to come on the last one from us. He's my granddaughter's bus driver. He asked us to spray for his mother-in-law, who was just found out with cancer. And I reassured him, my sister just went through 2.5 years and she came out fine. She's always looking up. So
okay.
Okay.
Anyone else?
Good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
It's a lovely day. Hey,
amen.
Truly is the day that the Lord has made.
Amen.
It's always good to gather. Got a nice group this morning. Barbara made her way back out of the woods. Barbara was in the woods all day yesterday. Gone, wandering in the woods, her and Jack. Talking about God's guidance and God's promises. So if you turn to 640, it's called The Promises of God's Guidance. 640. Broken into paragraphs. You folks that are on this side, we'll start with this side this time. You folks will begin. We'll go back and forth. The last paragraph we'll read together. 640, Promises of God's Guidance. Rise if you're able. Charlie and Buck's side reading. This is
the
day.
The Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God, who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go.
I will lead the blind by the way they have not known.
Along the clear paths, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light for them, and make them a rough place to smooth.
And
you, my child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercies of our God, by which the rising sun will come unto us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace.
The man who enters by the gate
is the shepherd of his sheep. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought them along his own, he goes out ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth.
Amen. And those are just part of the promises. That's interesting. When you sit and you look at this, I don't care who you are or what your life is like today, something here speaks to you.
Yeah.
Something here is a promise that's special just for you today. Join with me in prayer. Father, we thank you and praise you for this great day. For the sunshine and the clear, crisp air this morning, we thank you and praise you that we can come openly and freely and assemble here. We thank you, Father, for the fellowship with one another here and with like-minded Christians around the globe. We thank you, Father, for all the opportunities that there are to step up and be a part of your worship and a part of your service, not just today, but all throughout the week. We ask, Father, that you bless us, you open our hearts and minds, and show us the opportunities that are available, and then give us the courage to go pursue them. And now, Father, as we prepare to lock in and recharge and heal and renew our strength, we gather together in the prayer that your son Jesus taught us when he said, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Precious Lord, take my hand. Tom's been drawn up here, too. Is that nice? In the bottom of your bulletin, there was a paragraph that Steve Sabol put out this week. It's interesting. I put it in the bottom. It says there's a difference between interest and commitment. When you're interested in doing something, you do it only when circumstances permit. When you're committed to something, you accept no excuses, only results. Whether we've been committed to our Christian walk or simply interested in it, it's revealed by how easily we become deterred from our goal. When we're only interested, we allow ourselves to be turned back by inconveniences and discomfort. May we all demonstrate the honorable trait of commitment the way we follow through and finish what we've started. The example is Jesus on the cross. He cried, "It is finished," because he had ended well. We can live well, end well, and live forever. Yeah. The ushers are going to come forward and receive our tithes and offerings. And as I say every week, the money that you give helps to go for the maintenance and support of the church. The offering that you give every week is the real offering that makes a difference in people's lives. Our prayer request, Jacob has, you know, mother is beginning to journal and write. I sent one out this morning. Her journals are extended, but it shows the walk of a family that's under stress, dealing with a disease that they can't fix themselves. And they use all the technology that's available. And Ed pointed out this morning when we were visiting that it was a remarkable walk because one of the interns had misdiagnosed his, I think it was strep throat
about 2 weeks earlier.
Yeah. And doesn't seem like a big thing, but when you're battling cancer, everything's a big thing.
Yeah.
And but her thought process was the walk of, I wish that, you know, he had gotten the call right earlier, but he's not God. He's just a man that's doing the best job that he can do along the way. So you watch this woman's thought process and her family's thought process where, as she writes and she journals, everything that all her hope is based on the Lord. Everything that she does is based on the Lord's kindness and mercy. So as you give from your abundance, I think Susan sent me back an email on one of the texts that I sent this week that says you never know how abundantly you are blessed until you look at other people's circumstances.
Right.
And we are truly, truly blessed. So I encourage you, as always, to share from your abundance as the ushers come forward. Just a small, minute fraction of what you've given to us, Father. for you just cannot be God-given. You bless us each day with opportunity, with health, with friends, with the ability to lift up all our care and concerns to you. And so, Father, we ask that you bless these gifts as well as the giver, that you multiply, magnify, utilize them in your service, that you help us to expand our boundaries. We lift up all these gifts to you through your Son, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Or just around that way. We don't retire. We
reload.
And it's chillin's time. All the chillin', come on down. During the anthem, the clapping that you heard was Hannah. Hannah, unlike you reserved older Baptist people, or just cannot be contained. She has not lost her enthusiasm.
Who can tell me what it is like to know that Jesus is standing beside you?
It's
hard.
Oh,
it's in your heart. In your heart, yep. Have you ever felt like Jesus was like sitting right here? Was it when you were feeling happy or sad? Or have you felt that way more than once? More than once? How about you? You ever felt that way? And Jesus was sitting right beside you, put his arm around you, giving you a hug? I remember a time when I was taking a walk, and all of a sudden, I noticed, it was in the wintertime, and I noticed all the icicles on the blades of the tall dead grass, and they were like dancing around almost like diamonds. And I started just talking to God, and I all of a sudden just had this feeling that he was right there beside me going, yeah. Anyone else? Can anyone else talk at the time that they felt the presence of God was there with them, the presence of Jesus?
When I was in rehab, I felt his presence around me the whole time.
It's an amazing feeling.
It is.
When I was last injured in the hospital, I had to undergo multiple procedures. They became more progressively harder for me to do. But he was with me, and I could feel him and telling me that I'm with him. Always.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I went to the hospital and they found out I had leukemia.
And you could feel Jesus there with you? That's an awesome feeling, isn't it? Now, what's the difference when you're going through something and you don't feel like Jesus is there? Ever? People go through that all the time. They don't think Jesus is with them. Do you know what that feels like? It's a terrible thing. Because for a while, I didn't think Jesus was with me. I didn't want anything to do with Jesus for a little while. And it was an awful place. It felt scary. It felt like I was always worried. I was always angry. I was always stressed out. It was a terrible, terrible place. But as soon as I said, Jesus, I need you, boom, he was right there. He'd actually been there the whole time. I just was ignoring him. There's a huge difference. When you find out that there are people around you that say, I'm all by myself, nobody cares, I want you to remember what it felt like. When Jesus was with you, when you could feel Jesus like putting his arm on you, Jesus telling you it's going to be okay. I want you to share that with the next person that comes, you come in contact with, that says, nobody cares about me. I'm all by myself. Nobody knows what I'm going through. Okay? That's your job. Is that, Jesus tells us to do that. We are to share our faith. We're to share why we have faith. It's because we know that Jesus is with us. Okay. Jesus, I thank you that you never left us. That you are there with us, and you tell us all the time that you're with us. If we will just take that time to listen, to hear your voice, we know that you're with us. Help us to share that message with other people. Lord, I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you. Prayer time. Opportunity to come together and talk to God. Opportunity to hear God's voice through others' prayers. Opportunity to take some quiet time. May have been one of those weeks where you really haven't had any quiet time along the way. Ed. I just went. got a lot of folks to pray for. You know, got the additional prayer requests that were lifted up. I'll begin the prayer, go up and down the pews. This is a time for you to get your little mind right. It's a time for you to take that deep breath. I don't want you to think about the rest of the afternoon and what you got going on or where you're supposed to be or all the meals that you have to prepare or are preparing. This is time for you and God. Join with me in prayer. Father, we lift up all the folks on our prayer list. We especially lift up Jacob and baby Luke and Angelica and Alexis and all our children and grandchildren. We pray for Karen and her test would work out well, that they come up with a solution. We lift up all the other folks, Mike Valenzuela's grandfather, Lisa's mother, Mark Lloyd's mother-in-law. We pray, Lord, for Mark and, or I'm sorry, Marty and Melissa's new baby. We pray for George and Terry as they wait. I know they're excited. We pray for all the folks that are not here that are traveling, that you hold them close in the palm of your hand, that you keep them safe as they travel, that you return them renewed and lifted up. We pray for our leaders, local and national. We pray for wisdom at the coming elections. We pray for our military members that are spread around the globe. Pray, Lord, that you'd hold them safe in the palm of your hand and be with their families and return them back home as soon as possible. We pray for our police and our firefighters and our first responders and their families. Father, we pray for all the Christian churches gathered around the globe, that folks would come, that they'd hear your voice, that they'd share the word, that they would do what Karen just told the children to do, go out and share the fact that God is with you, that you felt God with you, that you know God walks with you, that you know there's a place where we can live eternally, and that they know the messenger in the form of Jesus Christ. And now we add our own individual prayers.
Father, come and thank you for this beautiful day, Lord. Thank you for my church family. Thank you for my family, Lord. Please help me to understand that you answer all prayers. All prayers, Lord. And that sometimes the answer is no. When it is no, Lord, please help me to accept that, to understand it, and to move forward in my life. Help me to follow your light in the steps of your Lord.
Lord, we lift up the toddler that is with you now in heaven, Lord. We ask you to comfort and put your arms around the mother and the family that remain behind with a grief that we can't even understand. It's got to be terrible, but understand that you are acquainted with our grief and you bore our sorrows on the cross. And somebody said to me, oh, you use the cross as a crutch, and I just asked them, what is your crutch? Father God, we're leaning on the everlasting arms. Lord, thank you for blessing us with that ability and that opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Father, for watching over us. Thank you for being there for us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for just all the sin you've sent to die across for us. I pray, Father God, Lord, you continue to bless our families and grandchildren and our children. I pray to watch over them, keep them safe, Lord, as they travel. Thank you for bringing us all together here today to worship you, Lord. Thank you again.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord,
for
this church
and
this community. They're a little baby from the family. They're good, but all your children, Lord, you know all about them. Thanks.
Thank you, God, for all you've blessed us with. Amen.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we have together as brothers and sisters. Be here in a safe and beautiful place to worship you. I thank you for touching my sister Faith, taking away her physical problem that she was having last week. Thankful for challenges in life. I thank you for blessing for blessing me with time to spend with my grandchildren. I pray especially for baby Jacob. I pray for Keelan's mom. I pray for Lisa's mom. You would heal their open-handed Titus and these companies and help her heal. Your blessing to her mom. Please give Karen all of the energy that she needs today. And I pray for healing and answers for her in Jesus' name.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord, for my church family. Bless each and every one.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, God, as always, for Kevin. He doesn't know how much to keep me grounded at times like this. Please watch over my mom. She's a center of our family. Please help us just to be strong and stay in the moment. I just hope we get the best outcome.
Thank you, Lord.
Dearest Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing this beautiful spring day, Lord. We thank you for the sunshine, Lord, for the birds and flowers, Lord, that are about to appear now, Lord. Pray for all the little ones and big ones, Lord, that are battling sickness, Lord, and I pray for us to be Lord. You are the great healer for all generations, Lord. Pray that you heal these loved ones of ours, Lord, that you watch over their families, Lord, that you encourage them, Lord. Just bless the doctors that treat them, Lord. Pray for our dear pastor, Lord, that you fill him with the Holy Spirit, Lord, that preaches a mighty message, Lord. Bless his ministry. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful, beautiful day.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, dear God, for this beautiful day. We thank everyone who worked so hard to keep this church doing so well. And especially we pray for our pastor, Barry, and wish him the most happiest birthday coming up. And my dear granddaughter has a birthday the day before, and she'll be coming home from college. for the weekend anyway. And we pray and thank God for all our loved ones, for those who have lost and mourn their losing their family, some of their family. We pray for all of them. And we pray for happiness and joy and peace and love for everybody. In Jesus' name, amen.
A continued prayer for Jacob and his mom, my co-workers, Sarah. Pastor said she'd be extraordinarily brave and faithful through just a harrowing walk, and heartbreaking walk. Offer prayer of hope for Michael Valenzuela's granddad, that fracture he suffered turns out to not be complicated. And also I want to offer prayers for the Verona family at 6 Main Street, who had a fire at their house, and prayers of thanks to our fire responders, who managed to contain that fire to a single bedroom rather than losing their entire home. And that was...
Father, we come before you. We lift up all our prayers, spoken and unspoken. We lift them up to you, Father, knowing that your line is never busy, that you never have too much going on to pay attention to us. We know, Father, that you know our names before we're born, that you know what we could be, and that you rejoice in sharing the things that we do, and that you're there not only to carry us when we're too tired to walk, but there to rejoice with us as we follow your lead and do your work. And now, Father, we lift up all our prayers to you through your Son, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Service with 557. Open my eyes that I may see. 557.
Today's scripture is from the book of John, chapter 21, verses 1 to 23. It's located on page 115 of the New Testament in your Pew Bible, if you'd like to follow along. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." And they said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat. But that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" And they answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it in, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them, and though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now, none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them. He was the one who had reclined next to Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is it that is going to betray you?" And when Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about him?" And Jesus said to him, "It is my will that he remain until I come. So what is that to you? Follow me." So the rumor spread in the community that this disciple would not die, yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but, "If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is it to you?" This has been a reading of our Lord's holy word.
Amen.
Thank you. God, with me in prayer. Father, we come and we ask that you would put your hands on each person here, that you'd lift us up, that you'd surround us with angels, that you'd open our hearts and minds, that the message would be special for each person gathered here, that the message would be impactful, that it would change us, that we would be changed and do the work that needs to be done, do the things that we put off doing, use the skill sets that we have to glorify you. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. So this is one of my favorite parables, miracles of the Bible. It contains all the important things.
It's got, there is a death because it's about fishing.
It's got fishing. It's got barbecue. It's got swimming. It's got a risen Savior. It should be a bestseller. It's got forgiveness. It's got forgiveness. You ever done something that you were really ashamed of and you had to go back and see your mother or father? And you got to go back. You know, you can't stay away from them forever. And you know, at some point in time, you got to run into them, and you got to be that person. And that, you know, that's part of this story. Part of the story is the disciples coming back, and Jesus brings them in. And Jesus asks, "Do you love me? Do you love me?" And the disciple says,
"Yes, I love you."
Yes, I love you. But he asked him again, "Do you love me?" And by the third time, he's a little frustrated with the whole thing. And he says, let me slip over here. He says, "Verily I say unto you, that when you were young, you could gird yourself. When you get older, somebody else is going to gird you and take you to places that you may not necessarily want to go." But he tells them, "I'm loving his sheep." He says the third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, Simon, son of Jonas." It's like when Gail's bad at Joel. I always know that Joel's middle name is Richard. Or Robert, rather. Joel Robert. You can always tell. And so Jesus says to Simon, he says to him, "Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me?" And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" And he said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Sometimes you have to get that little slap in the head going on. If you watch NCIS, when they don't get it, gives them the little slap. Sometimes it takes us a little bit to get that little slap going along the way.
Sometimes a
2x4. Just got to get your attention. But this is one of the appearances of Jesus. Jesus was crucified and did not rise and go to heaven right away. He was actually on earth for 40 days prior to his ascension, and during that time he appeared to a variety of people in various ways. And the folks didn't recognize him immediately, even his disciples. Christ had the ability to appear and disappear. He appeared at least 11 instances in the Bible depicting how his followers, but also to people that were not followers. If you follow history that's written during that time, it records Christ's appearance to all different types of people in a variety of places. And it was kind of the exclamation point prior to the ascension that says, "I'm here, I'm here, I'm alive." And he comes and he shares a message and he brings his disciples back. And as he brings them back, he begins to prepare them, to go out and to walk and talk and do his work. And it's kind of a preparation time, and that's what we're in now. Easter comes and we do Easter. And then we work towards Ascension Sunday, and then we work towards Pentecost, where the Spirit of the Lord comes down and sets on everything. But it requires some change. It requires some preparation. Preparation's going on now. You know, I've rototilled my garden. I know Joel and a bunch of other folks have worked in theirs. And you prepare. And whether you're getting ready to go fishing, Terry, or you're getting ready to go kayaking, you got to prepare. And that's what the disciples were doing. The disciples were gathered because they were supposed to meet Jesus. But they were fishermen. And they gathered to fish. And they went out that night and they fished the same way they had fished from the time they were kids. Didn't
These folks fish by vocation. No fish, no food, no food, no ability to sell, no ability to sell, no income for the family. So for me, fishing is relaxation. If I had to live on what I caught fishing, I'd be skinny, skinny, skinny. If I had to sell the fish that I caught to make a profit, my wife would be sad, 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 because our income would be down. But the disciples go out in the boat. They go out because it's something they know how to do, but they are professional fishermen, and they go out and they fish. And they're fishing the way that they fished before. And they're catching what I caught this week. Nothing. Nothing, nothing. But I did catch some little baby fish, right? The big fish jumped out of the water. I was telling you all, nice trout over at Sayak, came up out of the water, cleared his tail, went back down, and was kind of like, hi. I'm here. And so I went back and I did everything that I knew how to do. I threw every piece of bait that I had out there and nothing happened. And the disciples had the same thing. And on shore, they don't recognize him as being Jesus. But Jesus is prepared for him. He's done his homework. And he goes out and he talks to him and says, throw your net on the other side. Throw your net on the other side. And the disciples didn't say what I'd say, or you know what most guys would say is, we all fish on that side. And we always throw the net on this side, that's what we do. But they said, okay. And they threw the net on the other side. And they caught more fish than they had ever caught before. Our lives are like that. We want to serve and we want to support, but we keep doing the same stuff the same way, hoping to get different results. That's the definition of insanity. If you do the same stuff the same way, you're going to get the same results. You need to change. You need to change the things you do and look at the other side. Look at the opportunity to go do the hard things, visit the people you don't want to visit, do the work that you don't want to do, spend the time doing the things that are a little inconvenient for you. We're going to have a work meet this week. It's going to be this Saturday, 9 o'clock. They all come. There'll be something for everybody to do. There'll be stuff to come. It may be a little inconvenient for you. It may be something that you've said, well, you know, somebody else will do whatever they're going to do. Phyllis wasn't part of my sermon until she came up and took the offer. Mm-hmm. Phyllis did what she could do. Mm-hmm. She came and took part of the offer. Because on Saturday, there's going to be stuff that everybody can do along the way. The thing that you get on top of accomplishing the mission, the thing the disciples got on top of catching the fish, was they got the blessing of following Jesus. Mm-hmm. They got the fellowship with one another, which led to Jesus saying, come and share the fish that I prepared. Drag your fish over here and come and share. God's going to give you part of what you need along the way. And then he's going to take the rest of the stuff you do and say, bring it along with you. Bring it along with you. Let me show you how to use that. I've got it prepared for you. The stuff that you're doing isn't all wrong, but let me show you how to use it over here. And then if you've got something that's holding you back along the way, he's going to do what he did to the disciples. He's going to keep you coming and saying, do you love me really? Do you love me really? And it's not that God needs you to get to hear you say that. It's that you need to say, right? Yes, Lord, I really do love you. Yes, Lord, I really will serve you. Yes, Lord, I'll do the things that are inconvenient. I'll take the time out. I'll make the time. I'll carve the time out. We carve time out for everything else that really isn't a game changer.
That we love to do.
That you love to do. Yeah. Or you think that you should do. Okay. We have a lot of that hidden things that we think we ought to do along the way. You know, I've been invited to do this, so therefore I should go. Well, God invites you every day to do stuff. This week there's going to be Bible studies. The women's seat, Tom said, women seem to have a party going on here this week. Because they have all that stuff going on. That's okay. High time's coming, and then fellowship is on the way.
Come and dine.
Come and dine. That's right. But this section is Jesus saying, I'm here. I'm here. Karen's illustration this morning where she asked the kids, have you ever felt like Jesus was with you? Have you ever felt like Jesus was there in the midst of a firefight? Have you ever felt like God was speaking? Mm-hmm. And God sends that message. But it's just like the old adage about if a tree falls in the forest and there's nobody there to hear it, does it make a sound? I'm here to tell you that trees fall in your forest every day. You're just not paying attention. You need to turn the radio down, turn the computer off, do whatever you need to do to take the distraction away so that you can see God talking to you. I don't know where did you walk yesterday, Bart? Did you go to Berkshire's?
We went to Dalton, yeah.
Went to Dalton. Was there God, was God up in Dalton?
Oh, yeah, 10 miles later.
10 miles later?
Yeah. There.
Did you talk to God along those 10
miles? Oh, yeah. My main man yesterday.
I was doing an ALS walk, too. If you haven't gone on and logged on to support her, make sure you support her. It's a, you know, any of those outreach ministries that you do, folks will support you along the way. But you got to tell them and remind them. Because they'll walk that walk with you. You know, if I'm going to walk for ALS, I'm sure George doesn't want to walk that whole distance for ALS, but George wants to support him along the way. This parable and miracle that Jesus provides is about following the guiding hand of God. That when you don't follow God and you do stuff the way you want to do it, you catch something. When you follow God's direction and you do the work the way God wants you to do it, you catch more fish than you know what to do with.
Fishers of men.
Fishers of men. Yeah, and every offering I talk about being abundantly blessed. Abundantly blessed along the way. If you do not feel right now today that you are abundantly blessed, you are just not paying attention. You are just not paying attention. Abundantly blessed occurs when you don't feel well and you're going to Harrington Hospital and you're able to share the experience with everybody else, and then you go to Harrington Hospital and you'll visit with people there that you feel blessed to have been with. Mm-hmm. Maybe God sent you there not so much that you were sick, Karen, but maybe the folks there were sick and didn't know it. And you were sent there as the cure to their prayer.
Right.
Forever.
Right.
You know, and it just is one of those things where you don't know what opportunity is going to occur. You know, Elaine has become an official soccer grandma. And God bless her, I'm glad that she's in my camp, because I got to tell you the truth, I don't understand soccer. And, you know, it's all the like little chickens chasing corn up and down the field. It's kind of like hockey. The only part of hockey I get is when they get in the corner and beat the snot out of each other. But Elaine is taking the bullet on there, and she goes and has fellowship with the granddaughter, has fellowship with everybody else's daughter and granddaughter, has fellowship with everybody's soccer mom along the way, and then comes back home and fellowships with mom and dad and all the other grandkids. And it's not just a day of inactivity and doing nothing. It's a day of fellowship along the way. The disciples are blessed because Jesus works with them and talks to them. But it's preparation. It's preparation. It's a miracle. It's training. It's forgiveness. It's doing things the way that God directs you to go. So this week started today, and you go, not only look for the opportunity, but react to the opportunity. If you got to think about it, you know, it's kind of like playing baseball or any other thing. If you watch guys that play a sport, or if you watch Joel do carpentry work along the way, he's got a rhythm that he works with along the way. If you got to think about it too much, you lose the rhythm.
The rhythm's named Tom.
Tom do provide the rhythm for Joel, him and Willie. But every step that you take today is going to lead you towards the opportunity to do work for God.
Amen.
Now, you can choose to do it the way you've been doing it, and you may get some results. But if you choose to do it the way God leads you, your net will be filled to the point where you'll be surprised at how much weight and how much bounty and how much return on investment that net will bring back to you. So this week, be blessed. Be all that you can be.
Go fish.
Go fish not only for fish, but go be a fisher of men.
Amen.
And if you decide you're going fishing, invite the bald pastor.
in the laughing battle.
That's it. Our closing hymn is called Take My Life and Let It Be. It's 568. We'll sing this with enthusiasm. 568. Could be, and all God's people said,
Amen. Amen.